is found in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark, and likewise in the Gospel of Luke. It is the subject that you heard read unto you, John the Baptist being killed, being beheaded by Herod. Now we find that Jesus had called his 12 disciples and had sent them out to preach. He gave them likewise power to heal the sick, to cast out the devils, and to do many miracles. As these disciples were exceptionally blessed by God in this respect, in having these wonderful gifts given to them, John the Baptist, the man whose story we ought to speak about, he never done any miracles. He had no gifts like this given unto him. John never performed the miracle. And now when these miracles and these wonders were being performed by Jesus and by his disciples, there was much talk. The fame thereof was spread far and wide. And now when Herod heard of the fame of Jesus, Herod the Tetrarch, it says, when he heard of the fame of Jesus, he began to say unto his servants, "This is none other but John the Baptist, whom I have killed, for he is risen from the dead, and therefore do such wonders show forth themselves from him." We find here then spoken of a man by the name of Herod the Tetrarch. This Herod, he is called Herod Antipas. He was a son of Herod the Great, who was married to Cleopatra. They had three sons. To distinguish these three Herods that we read of in Scripture, I wish to impress upon your minds these things. In the first place, we read of a Herod that had all the children slain at the time of the birth of Christ. We read likewise of this Herod, Antipas. He had John the Baptist beheaded. And then we have another Herod called Herod Agrippa, who had James slain and put Peter in prison. You keep this in mind when you read the scriptures, and you will understand a little of what Herod you are reading about. Sometimes we get confused and we wonder which Herod this is. Now this Herod, Antipas, he had a brother called Philip. This Philip was married to a woman called Herodias. This woman was likewise of the offspring of Herod the Great, but of another mother. She had to call Philip, her husband, uncle. She likewise had to call this Herod Antipas uncle. She, being married to Philip, she had one child with him, a daughter called Salome. Now this Herod, he's called a tetrarch. This word means that he ruled over the fourth part of a country. This title was given to these rulers instead of calling them king. You will notice that he is even called king in one verse in Scripture. This title was given to show that he was a ruler over a fourth part of a country. Now this Herod, in this very first verse, we find him hearing of the fame of Jesus. From this we gather that he never heard of Jesus before. This teaches us likewise that rulers, men that are in a state and in high office, they don't care much about what goes on in the religious world. They're not concerned about that. Most of their men are not even religious. All they're concerned about is the political state of the country and the office that they are in. this man, he heard of the fame of Jesus, and from this we gather that he was ignorant of a subject over whom he ruled. For Jesus had lived 30 years already in Galilee, and for 2 years already now, he had been preaching and performing miracles. And still this man, Herod, had never heard of him. When he did hear about the miracles and the wonders that were being done, something came back to his mind. And that was the crime that he had committed. So we find that he says, this is none other but John the Baptist, whom I have slain, for he is risen from the dead. And therefore these wonders and miracles do show forth themselves from him. He then, in this very verse, states that he had had John the Baptist slain. This crime that he had committed came back to him. His conscience went open. And he began to say to his servants that this was none other but John the Baptist, speaking about Jesus. But this man, Herod, was a Sadducee. Sadducees, they did not believe in a resurrection. They did not believe in a spirit. They did not believe in any dreams or anything that the Pharisees believed in or that the Jews believed in. And now this man, contrary to his belief, he begins to say that John the Baptist is risen from the dead. If he didn't believe that, how come that he speaks this now? And now when he heard this, his conscience began to witness against him. I think, in the first place, he was probably afraid, because he figured if John the Baptist was risen again, most likely John the Baptist would come back to him who was his murderer and have him likewise punished for what he had done. But then again, he was afraid likewise that the people probably would go in an uproar against him. His conscience then troubled him. And now we find that this king, or this tetrarch, he had committed this horrible crime in putting John into prison and having him slain. The reason why that he had done that was because this Herod had taken Philip, his brother's wife, whose name was Herodias, from him. He had divorced his own wife and taken her, and he was living in adultery and in incest with her. This woman, she had had a child already by her first husband, Philip. This child's name is called Salome. And we find, because now John, who was a faithful witness for the truth, he came forward and he spake to this king or this ruler and said unto him, it is unlawful for you to have her. This, what John said unto him, struck home by this woman. She became very angry. And because she feared that probably someday Herod would listen to John, she plotted to kill this John the Baptist. It is stated in the scriptures that this man Herod, he heard John the Baptist preach. He heard him gladly, it says, and he'd done many things that John told him should be done. But when John confronted him with this sin that he was living in, and that he should put this woman away from him, he refused. He was so passionately in love with him that his passions blinded him and caused him to listen to this woman who pleaded with Herod to have him slain. Now to satisfy her, he took hold of John, he bound him, and he put him in prison. This was a dreadful trial for John. An eminent servant of God, of whom even Jesus Christ said unto those who were round about him, of women there was none other that was greater than John the Baptist, for he was a great prophet who was born of women. But he that was in heaven was greater than John. This man then was silenced. He was put in prison. But this Herod and this woman were living in the sin of adultery. My hearers, adultery is considered the blackest crime next to murder. God showed his indignation and his anger against this sin right in the beginning of the Bible. We find that Abraham went down into Egypt. And when he went down into this country, he was afraid because somebody would take his wife. And he said unto the people that this woman was his sister. Now when Abimelech seen this woman who was king there, he took her for himself. And that very night, God came to this king in a dream. And he said unto him, the woman that you have is this man's wife. Restore this woman back to this man, or otherwise you will die. That was what God said unto Abimelech, showing his anger and his displeasure against this sin of adultery. According to the laws of Moses, the adulterer and the adulteress were to be stoned to death. And we find likewise Job speaking about this sin, that it is a horrible crime. Yea, it is an iniquity, he says, which the judges must punish. In Athens, the law gave the permission to a husband, if he found another man dishonoring him, to kill that person immediately. The laws of the Romans were very strict against this sin, adultery. And my hearers, this sin is very prevalent in the time in which we live. Oh, how many people are married together and for a simple trifle they separate, they break their marriage, they get a divorce, and they marry somebody else and live in adultery. This crime is being committed tremendously in this country at the present time. The wise man Solomon says, he that goes into his neighbor's wife, he shall not be unpunished. A shame and a dishonor shall he receive, and it shall not be taken away. He likewise says about a man stealing because he is hungry. We can forgive a person that does that, but a person that commits adultery, Solomon says, jealousy is the rage of man, and he shall not spare in that day. Do we not see it and hear it, even in the time in which we live? When this takes place, when another man takes another man's wife, that man takes the law into his own hands. Many times they go into the house where this woman or this man is, and they kill both of them. Oh, how awful then is this sin that this king, this Herod, was committing with this woman. And John, a faithful minister of Christ, spake against it. To me and you, would say, why didn't he keep his mouth shut? It wouldn't have cost him his life. You know, if you witness against sin, my hearers, you're going to have enemies. If you are faithful and you warn and admonish people that are living in this crime, you will find the same result that John got. This woman hated him, and so did Herod. And she plotted to have him slain. She sought after his blood. Oh, how awful, even for a female, to do something like this. And now, my hearers, there came a time when it was Herod's birthday. Now, these birthdays observed by these rulers were kept with a banquet, with a party, with a good time. According to the commentary, it either was his personal birthday or it was the birthday that he had been set upon the throne. And now, at this time, he invited so many rich and wealthy men and captains and rulers of estates to this banquet. And now while they're gathered together there, they're eating and they're drinking, and we find that this young girl, Salome, the daughter of this said Herodias, is brought forward to dance before all these guests that have been invited by Herod. This was contrary to the Jews and to the laws thereof. Women never exposed themselves in the front of men. They always concealed themselves as much as possible. But this custom of dancing in the front of men was prevalent at that time throughout the heathen nations, and it also entered into this court where Herod was. And this young damsel was dancing in the front of all these men. This was contrary to the modesty of this young girl. She never should have done this. Probably she likewise exposed much of her body while she was doing this. Another sin, contrary to Scripture. And now while this was going on, you may imagine, use men. If you've seen a woman like this dancing in the front of you, what takes place? Man's passions are aroused. Man's mind is sinful, evil. And immediately his thoughts are contrary to what they should be. These men, they were drinking and reveling and banqueting at this place, and this young girl was dancing in the front of them. This man, Herod, he was carried away with that. And in his passion, he spake unto this young girl and said unto her, ask of me what thou wilt, I will give it unto you. And he swore unto her with an oath, that ask what thou wilt, even unto the half of my kingdom, I will give it unto you. My hearers, it's customary even for some of us, when we observe a birthday, to have a good time. We invite our relatives to our homes, we have some tea, some coffee, a cake, and we enjoy the evening together in this way. But when these wealthy people observe their birthdays and have banquets, and they go out of bounds many times. There's reveling, there's drinking, there's people getting drunk. And how often do you not read that at these particular places, oh, so much jealousy arises amongst some men or women. Sometimes they even fight with each other. They even kill each other. Now, my hearers, the wise man Solomon says, it's better to go in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. For the living shall lay it to heart. We don't like to go to a house of mourning. Be honest, if somebody passes away, even in the congregation, we pay our respects. But we dislike going to some place like that. We'd rather go to a banquet. Be honest about it, isn't it true? But now the Bible teaches us it's better to go to that place, because there we have a picture of what's going to happen to us, what's going to take place with us in this life. It speaks to us the truth. Therefore, a living person will lay it to heart. He will say, oh, I may be next, and how shall I appear before God? What a blessing, my hearers, if this takes place. A blessing it is if we care not about going to banquets or to parties, but we refrain because we are afraid that we might sin against God. And rather sin against God, we'd rather have people angry with us. And now while this was going on, this Herod, he made such an assertion to this girl. You can see he fell for her. He bowed before her. He was willing to give unto her even the half of his kingdom. Carried away, passionate, blinded by the devil. And he swore with an oath. We are never to make an oath, my hearers, unless it is in the presence of God. We are not just to take an oath upon our lips, just as this man did. An oath is a very solemn thing. When we swear before God that we most certainly shall do what we have said, we must consider that we have to do with God then. We are answerable to him for the oath that we have taken, and we shouldn't do it so rashly. And we shouldn't do it just like this king did it. He did it irreverently, he did it rashly, he did it passionately. And when he did this, my hearers, the devil was in it and not God. How many people take oaths today in courts, in various places, and they do it irreverently, they do it rashly. They never stop to consider that they are answerable to God for the oath that they have taken. We are permitted to take oaths. The Bible teaches us this. Even God himself swore unto Abraham that in blessing I will bless thee. And we find even the high priest speaking unto Christ when he was standing before him. He says, I adjure thee by the living God that you tell me whether you are the Christ or not. And Jesus answered and said, thou sayest it. You see, my hearers, the Apostle Paul likewise, he said, God is my witness that I pray for you day and night. He could call God to his witness. He then swore by God that what he said was true. So it's not wrong if we do it reverently, if we do it in the fear of God, to take an oath. But this man took an oath, just as I said, the devil instigated him to do that. And now this young girl, she goes to her mother and says to her mother, what shall I ask of him? And this was the opportunity that this woman was looking for. She was looking for a time that she would be able to get rid of John the Baptist. And she said unto her daughter, ask for the head of John the Baptist in a charger. What an awful thing for a mother to direct her child to do something like that. What an awful thing for a child to obey a mother in doing it. The child should have said, mother, that's murder. God forbids that we should do something like that. What an awful thing when we have mothers that are instigators to lead their children to do things that they will most certainly be punished and which leads them to destruction. How awful it is that we have so many parents that that never give an example to their children. They even send them out to steal, to do all kinds of things which the law forbids. All parents in our midst, may you be given to remember the vow that you took before God when you had your children baptized. Oh, may you bring them up in the fear and nurture of God. Now this woman, as she then struck through this child to get at John the Baptist, she used her child in this way. And she went to Herod and said unto him, I demand of thee that thou give unto me the head of John the Baptist in a charger. And now when she made this demand, we read that the king was very sorry. But because of the oaths that he had made, and because of those that were assembled with him, he would not reject her. What an awful king he is. My hearers, this king should have immediately said, I will not give you your consent in this matter. It would have been far better for him that he would have been made ashamed of because he didn't keep his word before the people than that he would have done what he did. But this king, he gave way to what she had asked. And he sent an executioner to the prison to have John beheaded. My hearers, John the Baptist was in prison. The commentary says that he was in prison about a year. That's a long time to be in prison, isn't it? And if you are a faithful servant of God like he was, we find him in the last few lessons that we had sending his disciples to Jesus to see whether he was the one that was to come or not. In that we see how John was troubled in the prison. He was troubled in his mind. Let me explain to you a little bit what was going on in his mind. I think he was thinking, now, if Jesus is my friend, if Jesus is the Savior, surely he won't let me in this prison. Surely he'll send somebody to deliver me out of this prison. But nobody came. He remained in that prison. He was looking forward to be brought out of it. But instead, my hearers, an executioner came and cut his head off. There may be some listening to me that are in prison spiritually. Oh, that isn't a very pleasant place to be, my hearers, in prison spiritually. There may have been a time that you have enjoyed much of God's presence, God's favor, God's smiles. And you were almost sure that God had a favor towards you and that he loved you. But there came a time, it may be that you fell into some sin. You gave way to something, and immediately these feelings, this nearness to God was taken away, and you were brought into prison. You were brought into darkness. You were brought like John, bound with chains and with fetters. You know, sometimes the devil, he comes to the saints of God, and he points out to them their inconsistencies, their many failings, their many slips. He binds them with fetters and with chains. They're filled with unbelief. They're filled with doubts. And while they're in this prison, it lasts sometimes a long time. It was a year that John was in prison. Maybe some of you have been in prison longer than that, spiritually. And what has been going on in your mind? Just what I've been speaking about, I think. You've been talking to yourself. You say, now, if Jesus was my friend, if I was one of his children and he loved me, would he leave me in this condition? Wouldn't he come and visit me? Wouldn't he deliver me out of this position I'm in? Such are your thoughts. And then you begin to doubt whether you're a child of God or not. You begin to fear that it's all wrong. You begin to fear that you're going to die in this prison. John the Baptist, he was executed in the prison. And that's your state. You say, that's what I think is going to happen to me. You're afraid. But now John, he was executed. He was beheaded. But John had a life in his soul that the king couldn't execute. He couldn't slay that. And although this was an awful way for John to die, for this eminent saint of God to lose his life in the prime of his life, when he could have been so useful, and we put a question mark ourselves and say, why did God permit this adulterous woman, this whorish woman, to prevail over his servant? Oh, sometimes God in his all-wise providence leaves the wicked to prevail over the just and over the righteous. Oh, how many eminent saints of God have been taken and have been executed. Oh, they have been burned at stake. They have been stuck through with a sword. Many eminent servants have lost their life. And now this man, John the Baptist, he had no qualms of conscience. It wasn't because he had done something wrong or evil or against the laws of the country. No, it was because he had come out for the truth, for the honor and for the glory of God. And therefore, his life was cut off. And we find that this executioner, he brought the head of this man unto this girl. He brought it on a platter, just like a piece of meat. Oh, what an awful sight that must have been, my hearers. And she took it and brought it to her mother. So ended the life of this man, John the Baptist. The disciples of John the Baptist, when they heard what had taken place with him, they came and they took the body and they gave him a burial. And they went and told Jesus about it. Before this, my hearers, these disciples, they were following John the Baptist. They loved him and they clave to him. But now they were directed to Jesus Christ, that he only could save them and deliver them likewise. And from then on, they followed him. This man, John the Baptist, he was the first martyr of the Christian church. Just like Abel was the first saint that you read of in the Bible that was killed by his brother Cain, so this man was the first minister that was martyr for the truth of Jesus Christ. What a blessing, my hearers, to be a martyr and to enter into glory above. Now that's where John went. Now that's where he is at the present time. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy prepare you and I to be where he is. If it ever comes to that point that we have to witness for the truth, and we dare not, you will find God against you. But if you may come forward and witness, you will find that he will be with you. And he will be with you to the end, for he most certainly was with John and took him home to glory above. It was a blessing for John because he was cut off immediately. And he went instantly to glory. He had no lingering death, my hearers. Blessed are all they that die in the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. That concludes our lesson for today. Our time is gone.